This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful audience. This is Peter Breggin, Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves. A big part of the show as we go along is going to be about reclaiming ourselves. I'm looking forward to today's show. I was going to do it all by myself, but Tom Renz, the great attorney, is going to join us for the second segment, Breaking News. This is like real breaking news stuff with comments from military officers, data from military reports on just how bad the vaccines are. We're finally going to get a more realistic perspective in what's going on. But also at the start of the first segment, we got some exciting and fun stuff to show you. So we've got a mix of just how bad it can get and just how wonderful it can get on Refounding America. Hi, folks. There's exciting stuff going on in the world today. Some of it outside the United States, people protesting around the world. But something that's lifted my spirits, given me a little fear for people, is what's going on in Canada. I don't know how many of you have heard about it, but it's been only started a couple of days ago. Truckers from the far reaches of Canada have started a parade of big trucks to Ottawa, Canada, to the capital of Canada. Their plans are to block the government with hundreds of trucks and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people. We can turn on little bit of clip I have for you, a little bit less than a minute of Jimmy Levy singing against the background of what's going on in Canada with the truckers and also with accompanying demonstrations that are going on.
We're welcome to the revolution. centralized. If you're not with us, you gotta step aside. Witnessing the genocide, everything is centralized. The food that we consume and they spraying it out with pesticides. Easily identify the sheep and the snake, the real and the fake, giving us a reason to pray. I'ma make my own choices, a voice for the voiceless. They trying to destroy us, avoiding the poison.
Well, this is just wonderful to look at. Ginger showed this to me at the very beginning a couple of nights ago. It warmed my heart. They are really getting it together, the truckers. They said the airline pilots let us down. Everybody's letting us down. And we are going to get all these mandates stopped. They're trying to force the truckers to get the vaccines and not letting them cross the border of the U.S. without the vaccines. And they're just saying, no, you got to stop this. Nothing is going to stop what's going on other than peaceful, massive civil disobedience, demonstrations, marches, the force of the people, the nonviolent force of the people in our constitutional democracies. Canada has been worse hurt than we have been. There's more oppression, more abuse of the population there. It's just a forerunner of us. Australia's ahead of both. They went for the easier pickings first. I really believe that the Canadians should be very, very, very proud of themselves for being the ones in North America to really take a stand. Now, some of the Royal Mounted Police have prevented them at least one truck stop from getting food. But on the other hand, volunteers are coming forward to help them out. Even volunteer mechanics, as they drive in circles, they make circles around each city. There are signs up by mechanics, will come and take care of your tires or whatever else you're having trouble with, your battery. apparently do it as a donation to help people move along. There are people along the way honking their horns and waving their Canadian flags. We haven't had anything like this in America. Now, coming up from South Carolina is a caravan that I think was planning to cross perhaps in upstate New York, where there's a crossing point to Canada, to join what's going on there. And our governor, our new lady governor, who seems to want to try to keep up with the old governor, has declared that trucks will be seized at the border if they try to cross without a bill of lading or whatever those are, and without a passport. And I hope there is no violence. I hope, dear God, that there will be no violence. But I don't know what the tyrants in America now are willing to do as Canadians and now Americans coming along are willing to do. And I think we just need to thank God for them taking these stands and wish them well, provide them any kind of support. There is a Canadian website that something about Trucks for Freedom, I'm not sure exactly what it is, where you can donate to the Brigade of Trucks. I mean, they're hoping, they're talking about 50,000 trucks already. They're hoping for 100,000. This could be a turning point. And in America, we need to take heart from this. We need to be like Martin Luther King. We need to be like Gandhi. We need to make clear that the citizens will not cooperate any further with these horrible, oppressive outrages that have been going on now for 2 years. And again, the man singing in the background is Jimmy Levy, L-E-V-I. Now, at the same time, we've got some exciting news going on coming out of the armed services. It's both positive and negative. It's very positive in the sense that Army physicians are now standing up and going public. I mean, that is a huge, huge risk for them to take, to say that things are really, really much, much worse in the service from the vaccines than anybody's seen. They say it far outstrips the already terrifying results of reports to the VAERS system of the CDC. And they're getting everything from, and here it is, Army surgeon says military ignored her warnings over COVID-19 vaccine injuries. She said she had to tell the soldiers that they had carditis, and that to those that were flying, they might drop dead of a heart attack in flight, like we've seen happen in the U.S. with some pilots. And it's just a really important declaration. Now, what did the Army do when this wonderful officer came up and said, hey, we have to do something about this? They stopped her from doing any further medical attending to military people. So this is the kind of vicious, hostile stuff we're dealing with. Now, one of the things that is so clear now in terms of my work with Ginger, we are still the only ones who are explaining how something like this can happen, how it gets so organized from the grassroots, in effect, of the global predators. There's no book, still no other book remotely competing with COVID-19 and the global predators. We are the prey. We've sold over 65,000 copies, and we're now going to begin promoting the book with professional folks helping us out. So, you know, stay alert. This is all very exciting, what's going on. And the book actually looks at the relation. Oh, by the way, you can get it in the U.S. only. You can get it from wearethepray.com at a discount. Otherwise, you'll get it at a reasonable price on Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, any of the other online stores that are available in your country or in the U.S. if you want to get it via that method. And we've been continuing the research there. And in the time I have left in this segment before the break, and then Tom Wren's coming on, that'll be interesting to see if we can manage that really neat and clean, to tell you some of the embellishments that I'm getting on all of this. I mean, you wonder, how did the original predators like Bill Gates, working with his organization called CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation. This is the key. Ours is the only book that talks about the origins of CEPI, 2015, 2016. And we found there literally their master plan in the form of the CEPI preliminary business plan, where Bill Gates is working with Klaus Schwab. He's working with the head of a huge trust out of Great Britain that has its origins in drug companies. They're working with the World Health Organization. They're working, excuse me, with the United Nations. There are connections to Communist China through the UN, and also directly through Bill Gates, and directly through all the global predators. Their model is the top-down government of China, because that's where they're getting their huge profits. Totally corrupt. You can do all kinds of business deals you can't do in the US. But how did they just grab a hold of America so that our American bureaucrats and heads of institutes, other than Fauci, who's just been a criminal for a decade? Fauci, by the way, goes back to working with Bill Gates. We document deeply working with him as far back as 2010, when Gates announces the decade of vaccines, 2010. That's a long time back. And Fauci is right there, appointed to his new vaccine committee to supervise it all. So these guys, they're buddies. Don't anybody tell you they're not buddies. Gates at one point tells a reporter that he doesn't get to talk to Trump much during recent times, but he talks to Fauci and he talks to Collins at NIH. I mean, these people know each other. They work together. More and more their emails are showing. But still, there's always seemed to be something missing. Well, the key organization for paying off the drug companies, which is something you'll find in the master plan. We even have photographs of some pages that are based on the master plan. It was announced to the drug companies to get them to join in on this big CEPI business plan, that if they got involved with them, they wouldn't have any costs, even indirect costs, which is like a huge basket, the ill-defined basket. No direct or indirect costs. If they are pushing vaccines through on these new platforms, what would eventually 5 years later become Operation Warp Speed, that they would get all this money from the government, which was, again, before it was ever named as the Great Reset, this fusion of the billionaires and the corporations with the government agencies, not with the legislatures, not with the judiciary. There's no control, not generally speaking, even with the president, so much as they just work right directly with the interests of the government. Well, the key organization is BARDA. People haven't heard much about it. We talk about it in the book. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. Boy, isn't that something? The head of that authority, appointed by Obama days before Trump came into office, appointed by Obama is Rick Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T. Rick Bright, who heads this organization, and this is the organization that's going to buy millions and billions of dollars worth of vaccines even before they get the fake FDA approval. This is the group that's going to pay all their expenses off BARDA. Rick Bright, the head of BARDA, is a key person. A year and 2 years before he's even appointed to BARDA, working with Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, the World Health Organization, all these criminal types of people and groups. He's working with them. He's on two of the boards of Bill Gates' CEPI organization. So it's just a very remarkable situation that's going on, that's most extraordinary. Now, so then you already have, now Rick Bright is the man who's really responsible for implementing the murder of millions of people in the world. And what Rick Bright did was when President Trump tried to release 60 some million doses of hydroxychloroquine, which would have saved untold lives, hundreds of thousands of lives in the U.S., and would have set the model for the world, and the entire threat of COVID, even to older people, would have been reduced hugely. Hospitalizations would have been down 85%, deaths down 75%. Rick Bright, on his own, as the head of BARDA, Rick Bright said no. He stopped Trump dead. And he worked with the head of the FDA, and they stopped Trump dead. And he had been working with Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all these people for 2 years, formulating Bill Gates's preliminary business plan for his CEPI organization. That's how deep into the throat of America's deep state the hand of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the World Health Organization and the UN, and also, I believe, we can track it all, as we do in the book, into the Chinese Communist Party. It's a most extraordinary thing. And then that's not even all of it. So you want to really totally control BARDA. That's got to be the plan for the business plan. Literally, the CEPI preliminary business plan began in 2015, published for the industry. No one had ever seen it. Put it out before I found it. And they want CEPI to be just so locked to our government that it'll be immovable. Well, for 5 years before Rick Bright was made the head of BARDA. The head of BARDA was a man named Richard Hatchett, a man who's been involved with DARPA, the Defense Department, with industry, with the government, with the CDC, another one of these globalist bureaucratic, larger than bureaucratic in many ways, Richard Hatchett. He had been the head of BARDA for 5 years. So they made Richard Hatchett the CEO for life, the permanent CEO of CEPI. And that happens in 2015 or 16. So looking at this, the date might be off a few months. Looking at this, it gives you an understanding of the aggressive octopus-like activities that go on between these worldwide organizations, these billionaires, Klaus Schwab, who is tied to hundreds of corporations building the concept of the Great Reset, where the billionaires and the big corporations and their support were from the Communist Party and the UN will take over the democracies. And that's Schwab's avowed idea, take over the democracies. I mean, it's an amazing situation. The unraveling of it is absolutely stunning. So again, just to summarize, because it's kind of freaky stuff. Going back to 2015 and 16, Rick Bright, the head of BARDA, the little known, most important organization inside the government for funding all of the drug companies that were going to work in the U.S. They narrowed them down, actually, to for the vaccines, just two, Moderna and Pfizer. They narrowed that down years earlier. They had that prearranged. And they could do it because they had people like Fauci and the head of NIH and the head of the FDA and the head of BARDA in there, just under their powerful, powerful control. So they have Rick Bright, and by the way, after Trump much too belatedly removed Rick Bright from his office, he didn't fire him, he's still in the government, he went to work for the Rockefeller Foundation. I mean, look at these names, these villainous operators whom we know do not have the love for humanity and have no appreciation of democratic republics that can stand in the way of their worldwide organization, they're supernatural, above nature, above nations is what I really originally meant to say. It is not even a conspiracy. I've been tracking it. I didn't have to go to any unknown documents. In my past, when I was taking on the drug companies, I'd get brown paper envelopes, with no return address on it, with important documents about what's going on inside the FDA or things like that, what's going on inside the Justice Department. It's nothing like that. This is stuff that is documented in the book and with a few of these newer things that you're hearing for the first time, just about the intricacies of the involvement of Richard Hatchett and Rick Barta. This is a collaboration that's above board, but they don't put it together for anybody. They don't want anybody to see it. They had to make it public and make it big because they were selling this huge program to corporations around the world, not just the drug companies. There's so many different ways they make money out of all of this stuff. You know, from hazmat suits to masks to respirators to, you know, whatever else they're doing. So what we've been up against is a collaboration of corporations, communist China, very left, extreme left wing, basically corrupt communist UN and WHO, working together against the interests of Americans, patriotic Americans, Americans who love God and love individuality and want to take responsibility for themselves and want to put America first. All of us, we are standing in the way of globalism. All right. In the second segment, we're going to be talking to, as a surprise, with Tom Renz, and it's going to be wonderful. And here is a man who also stands in the way of the globalists, and he's going to give us some important and interesting breaking news. There's Tom. Probably anybody who's been involved in my work, as well as maybe in the work of anybody in the field of trying to liberate America from what's going on now, knows Tom Renz. We both go back to when our heads were spinning in the early months of 2020. I don't know when we first met, but sometime in, I guess, the middle of 2020 or a little earlier than that, Tom asked me to do a report for a lawsuit he had against the governor of Ohio for, you know, just messing people up with his interminable emergency edicts. And Tom was the only lawyer in the United States of America just up front taking on these issues. And he was not a man who by nature or practice ever intended, I think, to be the legal spearhead of the freedom movement in America, but that's who he is. So Tom, you wanna catch us up very briefly on things in general with you. You've been on the show a few times and people I hope have seen you before. Well, on my show before it went on, Brighteon, people know you from that. And then we're gonna talk about what you, this new information you have from the military. It's been in the news. Go ahead.
Well, it's great to see you, Peter. I mean, you and Ginger are just absolutely gems. And yeah, you know, it's through our mutual friend, Pam Popper, that I was privileged to meet you guys. And, you know, I feel like, I feel pretty special because, you know, every now and then you got a butterfly effect thing going on, right? And you do something small and it has a big effect. And, you know, I asked Pam for help. Pam introduced me to you. I asked you to help me write something, and what that turned into is a masterpiece of a book. I mean, it came really, really just an amazing thing. And, you know, I'm fighting. I'm being attacked and, you know, all that sort of stuff as usual. I think that our latest little blurb, you know, going out and talking about the Defense Department, boy, we've had quite a bit of blowback from that one. I think I made some bad guys mad.
They got really mad at you. I saw that.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means you're having a real effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it means. A real effect.
You don't get flack if you're not over the target. And, you know, hey, just because I'm an old man at heart, I'll tell you what that means. You know, that goes back to the Great Wars. The pilots, when they were flying, when they were getting shot at from the ground, they called that flak. And so they got shot at more if they were over the target than if they were out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, that's where that phrase comes from. But, yeah, you know, we're getting a lot of blowback, a lot of guff right now about that. I want to thank Senator Johnson. I mean, you know, that man took a political risk by allowing me to speak. But you know what? That risk that he took, God willing, will save the lives of a lot of our soldiers. And keep them safe and protect our country overall. God willing, this will be the beginning of what we need to end this madness.
Well, go right on in now to what you've been getting from people, what the sources have been, what's the data?
Yeah, so the sources are heroes, right? I mean, these military people that came forward, they've been watching. You know, anybody that speaks or even looks cross-eyed at COVID or the vaccines and the military is getting reprimanded and dealing with all sorts of garbage. I mean, it's terrible what they're doing to our soldiers. These are men and women who volunteered their life to save our country and keep us safe. And now that's not enough. They have to be ordered to take these experimental injections that are just absolutely deadly and dangerous. And we now know that. So these guys, these are doctors and public health people and just eminently qualified people. And they come forward and they did, what they did was they looked at a database known as DMED, D-M-E-D, and it's the Defense Department Medical Epidemiological Database. And what this is this is a state-of-the-art government program that was designed to watch and monitor the health and the safety of our military. So what it does is this database is a collection of medical records that are put together and analyzed so that they can be queried easily and so that they can identify where there's issues, you know, because let's say, for example, one of our foreign bases, you know, there was a bio attack in Korea, right? Well, you'd want to be able to spot that right away. You'd want to be able to look for the signs and the data. Well, that's what this database is designed for, is to spot specific data and issues. Well, I got to tell you, Peter, I mean, we know I'm not a doctor, but I don't know that I really need to be a doctor to say, well, when you get 1,000% increase in neurological issues in 1 year over the 5-year average, there might be an issue. I don't think I need a PhD in statistics to say that, you know, if every year you're seeing around 87,000 neuro issues and, you know, we start a VAX program, that's the only thing that changes, and the next year you see 860,000, yeah, maybe there's something wrong there. Maybe. So that's what we've got. We have the best database that I know of. I mean, they may have something that I don't know of. And we got the best data that we know of brought to me by the, you know, some great scientists from the military and medical professionals and public health professionals, people who know what they're doing, and it's indisputable. And Peter, I'll give you this right now. Female infertility up 471%. Mm-hmm. Male infertility up 354%. Oh, there's a disease, congenital malformations, birth defects, 155%. We've got a disease that I really don't even know how to pronounce, to be honest. It's but it's a disease that breaks down your muscles and it causes some body issues within your body because of that. And it's a 723% increase. We have MS. What was MS? Multiple sclerosis. The list is so long, it takes me a minute to look at it.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. You know, by the way, we can talk later at some point, but you know, I know a medical journal that would be willing to, you know, this got turned into a scientific article to get it out pretty rapidly. So we can talk about that later. I just wanted to let you know that. And I'm doing that with another batch of data right now. There are some shining lights out there that are willing to put out this material if it's properly organized as a scientific article. Are you representing any of the soldiers, and can you tell us what's happening to them?
Yeah,
not just the whistleblowers, but just soldiers who don't want the vaccines, those kind of folks.
So I'm not representing them. And the reason I am, and it literally hurts my heart, because, and this is why I've been so eager to jump on this DOD stuff, right? Because I don't have JAGL experience. I don't have experience with the military code of conduct. And it's a specialty area of the law that I just don't have a tremendous amount of knowledge of. Now, I have an attorney that I'm bouncing some stuff off of with regards to my whistleblower representation. The whistleblower law is something I'm completely comfortable with. You know, I did more than my share of homework on that before I was willing to represent them. But I felt like this was my opportunity to really help our soldiers. And I've been just chomping at the bit to do it. And I couldn't find the right way. And then God opened the door and, you know, here we are. So these guys, I do know how to protect. And boy, I'm fired up. They screw with these guys, I'm coming after them.
Yeah, that's really great, great news. We could tell people a little bit about the whistleblower concept. I could do it. I've done some work in that area. But why don't you describe to people what that particular role is and what happens under the law?
Well, so the concept of the whistleblower is something that you know, I mean, we know what it means. You're telling something that, you know, someone doesn't want told. You know, someone's doing something wrong. Now, whistleblower protections deviate quite a bit depending on who you are. So there's military whistleblower laws. There's some laws that are, you know, imply whistleblowing for publicly traded companies and a bunch of different areas, right? But for our purposes here, these guys are protected. They brought this information forth to share with a sitting congressman, in this case, Senator Johnson. And they brought it forth, you know, for the reasons laid out within the statute. Now, I don't want to go into too many details about this because I don't want to give anybody ammo to try and poke these guys. But trust us, we've done our homework on this, and I'm very sure these guys are well within the protections of the law, and they have to be, right? Because think about this. So the order to force these jabs is coming from the top. And not only is it coming from the top, but the top has made it very clear that if you're not willing, you're going to face reprimand. I mean, we see soldiers being court-martialed. We see them being thrown out of the military, their careers being destroyed, demotions, all sorts of things. So they've made it 100% clear that you're going to shut up and take your jab, or we're going to do something to you. Well, there's a few soldiers that have said, we don't care. We believe that this is wrong, and that's just the way it is. And God bless them. So what we've done is they've come forward to inform a sitting congressman that, you know, there is wrongdoing occurring. And good, rightly so. So I applaud them for their heroic approach to this. And, yeah. God bless Senator Johnson for taking care of it, and just thank these guys. They're just heroes everywhere.
Yes, it's quite amazing what's going on in that regard. do you have any idea about how this data can ultimately be used? I'm sure you have ideas about it, because I've published so much stuff. I think about, oh my God, let's get a scientific article out. That didn't accomplish a lot. That just gives you a background to do something else, like bring a lawsuit. It gives you some scientific basis. How would you be able to use the data that you're collecting now?
Well, we intend to use these. They've given me declarations signed under penalty of perjury that we intend to submit to the federal courts as part of some of our cases that are already there. I think it's going to be a wonderful addition to some of these cases. And we also intend to, you know, right now the mainstream media is doing everything they can to black this out and cover this up, right? But we're going to make sure that that can't happen for too long. We've got a plan. One thing that we did, we've been very careful about this, right? You know, we didn't have a ton of time from the time that we got it till the time that we put it out, but the data had been being collected for a long time. And, you know, that data is there. And we've got it in a number of places around the country and with a number of people. So it's out there. It's not going away. And we're going to make sure it goes everywhere because it has to. So we intend to also use it to educate the public and to force a conversation. If we're lucky, we'll do what they should have done a while ago, and we'll be able to force them to shut this down because what they're doing is absolutely illegal on more levels than I can count, and it's criminal. So I'm feeling very good about it. We've got quite a plan, and I've got a couple surprises, Peter, that I can't wait for you to see. I know you'll get a boot out of watching my little devious plan here unfold over the next couple weeks, but we have several steps to what we're gonna do, and it's a pretty, I'd say it's a pretty strong plan. I think we'll use this data to the absolute fullest extent. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll even see some of the whistleblowers that come out and speak themselves. We just got to make sure that we're keeping them as protected as possible. Those guys are heroes, and I feel very protective of them. You know, they've already risked so much.
Now, in some whistleblower suits, the whistleblowers have the capacity actually to make a great deal of money by getting a percentage of money that the government might recoup from some, you know, shenanigans. That wouldn't apply to these folks, would it?
I mean, I kind of doubt it. We haven't, it's not something that any of them have brought
Have
up.
wanted, yeah.
They don't care. They're just trying to save their country. These guys are legit. They're
Oh, I
heroes.
know them. I know that.
So I mean, these are everything that you would want. Just good people fighting for America. I got to tell you, Peter, I didn't ask them for a dime to help them, and they didn't ask me about winning a dime. They just want to save their country, and that's
Yeah.
how it's got to be.
Yeah, they're like the rest of us. There's a lot of folks like us. I'll tell you something very funny about whistleblower suits and how corrupt the country is right now. After I was talking about Rick Bright, the head of BARDA, and his connections to on the show before you came on, his connections to Bill Gates, to Klaus Schwab, to the World Health Organization, which means the UN, and all those very corrupt Marxist authoritarian people in that group, and how they used Rick Bright to stop Trump from releasing 60 million or more doses of hydroxychloroquine, because he was in BARDA. That's the organization that is responsible for these implementations of the various emergency authorization kinds of moves. And when Trump relieved him from his position for blocking an executive order, Rick Bright sued Donald Trump as a whistleblower. And his suit was accepted and settled by the federal government, whatever that means. And then the last of the comments was, and it still goes on nonetheless against Donald Trump. The immorality, it's really so much like the story of Animal Farm, where right becomes wrong and everything is turned on its head. Then the pigs end up running the farm and eating the chickens and the turkeys and so on, and killing old Dobbins, just like the really worse than the original farmers, who tended to at least try to raise their creatures more healthily. So a topsy-turvy world we're in. Are you getting any lawyers? I know for a long time you were pretty much alone as a lawyer. Any lawyers working with you who are dedicated the way you are, who have their own funding, or can work with you?
Well, we've been very privileged to find some lawyers that are absolute heroes, and we've had some a handful of us, for a while, but that number has grown to substantially. There are lawyers that want to fight this now,
Good.
and
Oh, that's great.
the biggest issue we have. So it's kind of funny. I mean, Peter, you know me. I go to God for everything, and I started out, and I go for my, hey, God, I need help. I need help. I need help. Well, he gave me lawyers. So now I got lawyers, but now I don't have any funding for them because, they all need to feed their families. And, I guess I didn't really consider, if you get 20 lawyers, well, then you got to pay the 20 lawyers. And, so we're trying to balance that, the funding thing now. And I'm hoping, that, if we keep doing good work, that the people of America will support us in it. And, yeah, that's just what we're hoping for. So we're
People
looking
of
for donors.
America, support Tom Renz. What's your website to get support, Tom?
And we got renz-law.com. It's www.ren as in Nancy, z as in zebra-law.com. And I was told that this is not a thing for a high class lawyer, but I actually put a I put a I put a spot. I have a sponsor on my site. It's because I got my buddy. He gives me my supplements, and he sells this awesome coffee. So I was like, hey, can I put this on my website? Because listen, we're doing this for peanuts and for free, and I don't care whether anybody thinks that I'm some sort of a. I'm not a big shot. I'm just some guy fighting this fight. So I don't care whether it's prestigious or not. Buy my dang coffee, please. Just what we got to do.
I'm smiling. I think that's a great thing to do. We have the opportunity to you know, put up an ad on our website. We've never done ads for Mike Lindell's Pillows. You know,
oh,
Mike
yeah.
Lindell is such a great man. He does so much to support freedom movement. He's and you know, he's a tremendous guy. But I just couldn't put a little ad up on the website. But now that you're doing it, maybe that's all I need.
Hey, you know, I gave up on pride a long time ago. I am a servant. I am here to serve. And I don't care if you support me by buying vitamins. I don't care if you support me. I'll stand outside with a cup if it allows me to keep fighting these bad guys. I don't care. As long as I can feed my family, I don't care what I got to do. We've got two things that I've got a responsibility before God to do. One is feed my family. Two is fight for freedom in our country. And I tell you what, there is no pride in this. There is no trying to be bigger or better. I don't care how we do it. We just got to win.
Absolutely. And, you know, Ginger and I have really been blessed in that, you know, I never taken any government funding or any kind of funding for our nonprofit groups that we have held over the years. But with my own legal work over the years, much of it being paid, some of it pro bono, and still having a practice, not relying on being a professor anywhere where they would have thrown me out of decades ago. We've been really blessed in being able to support our reform work, and some of the time by doing reform work in the courts. So we have just been very, very lucky in that regard, and to be able to build up enough of a war chest to protect ourselves if we're under attack. And not very many people have that opportunity. It was such a blessing to get into being an expert witness in so many different areas where people, you know, they would make money by hiring me, or they yeah. would hire me as a part of an organization or something like that. So we've been very, very blessed. But when I was young, oh my gosh, are we getting near the end here? Oh, it goes. We've got 40 seconds left. Tom Renz, thank you so, so much for being with us. It's a blessing. You're a blessing. May God bless all of us. And folks, join in. Go to the local precinct. Go anywhere. Find some people who are doing good work. Volunteer with them. You will meet people that are wonderful. Everywhere you go in the freedom movement, it's a wonderful place to be. You'll be exhilarated by what you do, and you'll just grow and grow like Tom Renz and I have been doing.